Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Well, today we are beginning our Holy Week series called For the Joy. It is a mini series within our overall I've Got the Joy series that we're doing in the book of Philippians. But it's for Holy Week, it's different, and so we're calling it something different for these three episodes that are going to represent Holy Week. And so we'll be in Philippians chapter 2, where we left off, and we're going to be in verses 3 through 5 today. So if you have a copy of the Bible, you can go ahead and open that on up. We're also going to be a couple other places. We're actually going to be in Hebrews 12 as well, and Mark chapter 11. But we're going to start in Philippians 2, 3 through 5. And we're going to spend the next three episodes in these next eight verses. So for today, 3 through 5, and then for Good Friday, we'll be in verses 6 through 8 of chapter 2 in Philippians, and then Easter will be in 9 through 11, as well as, like I said, looking at the gospel accounts of these events that are happening during Holy Week. And so that's kind of where we're going, and we'll return to our I've Got the Joy series in a couple weeks. Now let's just dive in. Let's just get into it. These episodes are going to feel a little different. This one's going to feel normal, as we're kind of going to do some teaching a little bit through these verses. But our Good Friday episode is going to feel definitely different, as it's going to be more reading as we just kind of try to reflect and remember and enter into that space of Good Friday. And then Easter, we're definitely going to have a party for that, and we're going to just kind of look at the next few verses, but we're also going to kind of look at the gospel account as well. So we're kind of going to be going back and forth, and we're going to be unpacking this idea of for the joy. What does that have to do with Holy Week? What does that have to do with this part of Philippians? And so let's dive in. Let's get into it. Let's read here in verses 3 through 5 in the book of Philippians. And it says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interest, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had." Or Christ Jesus had. So, first thing we're going to see here is a selfish heart versus a humble heart. And it's a matter of heart, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I think it was the second episode of this series actually it was the third episode, I think. It doesn't matter. It's back there. It's in the archive, where it's like overflowing, right, of love and what's in the heart, right? It matters. Luke 6:45 says, you know, what's in our heart comes out. And so it's important. So Paul is returning here as he's still kind of recapping this whole thing, verses 1 and 2 that we looked at last week. And these are kind of like part of that. And this whole idea of unity is still becoming a part of Paul's conversation here. So Paul is returning to this heart behind what we do. Is it selfish or is it humble? So the first heart is selfish heart, and we see that in 3A, right? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. So when we're looking at that, it is important to say that a selfish ambition, right? We're going back to what he said, is that this unity isn't selfish. We are often motivated by selfish ambition. Much of what we do is not done out of love, but out of our own desire or for advancement or for promotion. And some of the time I see that, and I'm sure you do, but sometimes we don't see it in ourselves. It's a heart check. Is what I'm doing important to me, or is it important for God? Is it glorifying God? Is it helping God? Is my heart what I want to do? Especially for me being in ministry, is what I'm doing for me, or is it for God? And sometimes we can start telling ourselves, oh, no, I'm doing it for God. I love doing this because I'm doing it for God. And then when you kind of get bumped, or are you able to take a step aside and let somebody else? And that's where it's like, okay, am I doing this for myself only to make myself known? Or am I doing it for the glorification of God? Or for the advancement of even others, even not in a ministry setting. In a ministry setting, for me, can I take a step aside? Can I let somebody else have the quote-unquote spotlight, if you will? Or do I always have to have it? Is it always what I want? And then that's a struggle that I have sometimes. And then you've got, if you're not in like a ministry setting, like if you're in something else, and it's like, am I doing this just for myself, or am I trying to help the company I work for? Am I trying to glorify God even still in that? So Paul keeps talking about this selfish ambition, because there's good ambition, having passion and drive and desire to do things, to accomplish things, to work for the advancement of the kingdom of God and to glorify God, as we've also talked about in this series, is good to have. That's a good kind. But when we're trying to think too much of ourselves, and we're trying to, that's why Paul keeps bringing it back, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Then he says, be humble. And then that's kind of opposite. Jesus was about being opposite. You don't have to look very far to find out that Jesus was definitely about being opposite. We don't have to look very far that this humble heart, be humble, right, is what he said. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Looking out for other people's interests, not just your own. Once again, selfish versus humble. Are we willing to step aside to let other people who are passionate about what we want to do or what we are doing, especially in, once again, in ministry, like when we're volunteering at church or we're volunteering outside of the church in the community, are we doing it to push ourselves forward, or is it to glorify God? Are we helping other people? And that goes with a company or whatever line of work you're in. Are we doing to try and help other people? But that goes against what we normally think. It's counterculture. Look out for number one, right? We hear that a lot. I heard that a lot growing up. Look out for number one. Make sure number one is taken care of. Then other people can be. But are we putting ourselves aside? It's important to hear what God is saying here to us. As we put away our selfish ambitions, our tendencies to be high-minded and self-absorbed, we naturally have a greater concern for the interests of others. So when we're pulled, Paul doesn't tell us that it is wrong to look out for our own interests. And this is where sometimes I think it can get confused, right? Paul isn't telling us, by any stretch of the imagination, neither has Jesus, that it's not okay to look out for our own interests sometimes. Jesus did it. When he looked out, when he needed to rest, he looked out for that interest in himself. He looked out for the interest of others as well. But he knew it was important to rest, and he knew it was important for his own self even, to eat and to rest. But we should not only look out for our own interests, but we should be watching for other people's interests. What's more important? Is the money I have in my pocket more served somewhere else, or to once again serve me, to help me? Paul is saying that this is the key, and it's important that we do need to look out for ourselves, because you can go the other way where you put yourself so far back that you're not, that you don't look out for yourself, that it's hard to care for yourself. Sometimes parents are like that, where they're so busy looking out for the interests of their kids and they're wanting what's best for their kids that they forget or refuse, or whatever words you want to put in there, to take time for themselves. that it's okay. You know, especially like dads sometimes, but moms especially do that. They really want to look out for the interests of their kids. And it's like, no, take some time for yourself. Wait, I can do that. Will the kids be okay? Will this be okay? Will that be okay? Yes, it's okay to look out for yourself. But it's good that you look out for other people as well. And that's what Paul is telling us here. He's telling us to not be selfish, to not always look out for ourselves, but to look out for other people. And when we can get in that, that is the unity that is being described by Jesus, being described by the every page of the Bible. It's being described by Paul in the first part of this letter to the Philippian people, that unity is looking out for everybody, being there for others. That's what it is important. That's what is important. So how do we do that? It all comes down to our mindset. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Jesus modeled this so well, especially now as we're going to get into this Holy Week discussion. This is important to see how Jesus, when you read the Gospels, Jesus looked out for himself, and he looked out for his disciples, and he looked out for others. But he cared more about others. He would go out of his way to go talk to people. He would allow himself to be interrupted. But then he would go on a boat to cross the sea, to go to different towns. And that's where he would look out for his own interests sometimes. One of those events, he was resting. He was asleep. But other times, he goes out there and he focuses in on his disciples. And he tries to teach them what he just taught. And he tries to help them understand. But he does take time for himself. He goes off to pray. He goes off to rest. Jesus does look out, if you want to, using quotations, I guess, for his own interests as well. After all, he was human. So it all comes down to mindset. And this is where, if you want to hop over to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, is where we're going to get this idea of this mindset and what's happening here as we open up the pages of Mark's gospel, and we look at this event of Palm Sunday and the start of Holy Week. But it all comes down to mindset, and it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I've really leaned into that verse a lot. And I keep thinking about it when we see what Paul is trying to describe. And it's like, keep your eyes on Jesus and do what he does. Figure out what he does. Figure out how best to handle these people, this unity, conflict, all of this stuff that we've discussed in this first part of this series. In the book of Philippians, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy set before him. So because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Another translation says, for the joy set before him. The NIV version, the New International Version, actually reads, for the joy, which is where we get the title for this Holy Week series. So As I'm thinking about this, and just so much there, how do we do all of this stuff? How do we strive for unity? How do we push for unity? How do we push to help other people? How do we humble ourselves and have humble hearts to look toward other people as well as ourselves, but make sure that other people are cared for more than ourselves? You got to look to Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. And we find out what Jesus does and how Jesus acts and what Jesus would do by reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's where we're going to see this example that Jesus set for us. So let's head over to the Gospel of Mark. I've been reading Mark, and so for this year, for Easter, for Holy Week, for Good Friday, we're going to be looking at these events in the Gospel of Mark. They're in the other Gospels, but we're looking at this particular gospel account. And so it says here, verse 1, it says, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs it and will return it to you. And return it soon. So that sounds kind of weird. Jesus is kind of like, go steal a donkey. No, it's not. He's fulfilling prophecy. That is what he's saying. Go take the donkey and say, we're just borrowing it. We'll bring it back later. It's kind of what he's instructed his disciples to do. But let's not look at it that way. It's just how I read the Bible, right? So I'm going to enter this space with you as we read the Bible. And it's basically saying, go steal a donkey so I can ride it into Jerusalem. But that's not what he's telling them. It's fulfilling prophecy that this donkey would be there and that he would be riding in on a donkey's colt. That is what the prophecy had fulfilled. And then it says the two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the ground, on the road ahead of him. Others spread leafy branches, palm branches, in John's gospel, I believe, that they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people were shouting, praise God, Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in the highest heaven. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon, and they returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. So when we see this account, this is the event that starts this event of Holy Week. He comes in to this space, fulfilling a lot of prophecy found in Zechariah. Got to get my prophets right. Zechariah says that he would be riding on a donkey's colt. Look, the king is coming. But this creates a little bit of drama here too, because now Jesus is riding into town on this colt, fulfilling this prophecy that says a king will come to you and he will be riding on a donkey's colt. And so now this space, right, has now become, oh, this is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is that king that we were being prophesied about. And it's so awesome to see that Jesus fulfilled this. And that's what Palm Sunday is. And it says here that they spread their garments and the leafy branches were the palm branches out on the street, so the donkey didn't have to walk on the ground, and that the disciples threw their garments on the donkey so Jesus didn't have to sit on the donkey. It's just amazing. And when you think about what's to come, right? This was just a few days prior to what would be called Holy Thursday, and then Good Friday. And some people have dubbed Saturday a silent Saturday. Nobody really knew what was going on, right? And then we've got Easter. And this is where we are in this space, in the book of Philippians and in this Holy Week. But here's the thing, this mindset of Jesus, right? For the joy set before him, because of the joy awaiting him, he had the mindset. And I've often been baffled by the words, for the joy he endured the cross. And we'll get into that a little bit more, but the joy there, what kind of joy? Crucifixion was not a good thing. But for the joy, right? For this purpose of looking to others first, not looking to his own interests, right? He started by setting foot in Jerusalem, by fulfilling that prophecy. He started a lot of things in motion, which, by the way, he could have stopped at any time. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to continue on the events of the week. This is literally the last week of Jesus' life. And when I think about it, some people may disagree with me. Some people may think that it's just me adding to the story for the sake of adding to the story. But this is how I read the Bible. And when I think about this crowd of people standing there, in just 5 days, right? Jesus enters Jerusalem in just 5 days. I wonder how many of those people that were saying, "Hosanna, praise God, look, here he comes," were in the opposite camp. Maybe not. Maybe because of events going on, maybe they weren't. But I can't help but think that what if some of those people were there and now they're over here shouting something different as the week goes on? And if you want to dive into a little bit more of this last week, this last night, we did a series a couple years ago about this very thing, John 13 through 17, and we just did a deep dive into that text. The series is called The Last Night with Jesus, and we just entered into that space. This last conversation that he was having with his disciples on this last night, as you prepare to go forward into Holy Week. But right now, this is a celebratory time, right? Palm Sunday, waving branches and celebrating that this coming king is riding in. And in this moment, right, the atmosphere is high, right? The atmosphere is joyful and triumphant that finally somebody is going to come to overthrow all of this stuff, and he's going to rule, because that's what the scriptures had said, right? A king is coming. He's going to rule. He's going to take over. And that's what they expected Jesus to do. But as we know, things are going to slowly change. But the attitude that Jesus had, he kept going because of the interests of us. He had us in mind as he walked into Jerusalem, or rode into Jerusalem that day, and as he continued on with the week's events, knowing what's coming, right? And that's what's so amazing about Jesus being fully God and fully man. He knew what was coming, but he still entered into that space, because as a man, he could have stopped it. And as God, he could have stopped it. But as a man, he could have just decided, no, I'm going to choose my own interests. I'm going to choose my own way and forget all you people. Forget what I was supposed to do. This is what I'm going to do. And that's the controversial statement that I say a lot. And I say it's controversial because, no, Jesus had a purpose to come down here, right? But he could have stopped it at any time. And if we don't understand that, the whole gospel, the whole message, everything that Jesus did crumbles underneath the weight of it. Because Jesus had to do what he had to do, but he also had to have the choice. He had to have the choice to look to himself, to look at him better than everybody. He also had to have those choices that we have. He had to live a life that we couldn't live so that he could be that sacrifice for us. Because if he lived a life that we could live, then we could be the sacrifice for ourselves even. And that doesn't make any sense. The whole gospel message gets blown up if we don't look at Jesus as a man with a choice, and a choice with a consequence. Just like God started at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, gave them a choice. And every choice has a consequence. Choices are sacred, as it's been said in my church. And choices come with a consequence. And consequences usually negative, but there's also good consequences. The good consequence of Adam and Eve not eating from the tree would have been life in the garden forever and ever in that perfect space. But they ate, and the bad consequence was sin and separation from God. Noah, real quick, if you want to look at another story, Noah had a choice: build a boat or don't. Consequence, Good consequence, you'd be saved from the flood. Bad consequence, you'd be wiped out with everybody else. So these choices are sacred. And to look past the fact that Jesus had a choice is doing us a disservice, I think. And that's what I've been looking at over the last several years, looking at this gospel message, looking at Jesus himself as fully man and what choices he had to make. They're in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So as we enter into this Holy Week, having the same attitude, the goal of unity that Jesus has for us, that this goal of unity is important, is what Paul has been trying to describe throughout chapter 1 and this early part of chapter 2. And that the way we do it is by having the same attitude that Jesus has. Well, what's that attitude? Well, we got to figure it out by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So that's my encouragement this week for us, especially as we go into Holy Week. Keep the attitude of Jesus. How do we do that? Well, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. How do we do that? Dive in to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read them and dive into them and see how Jesus responded into a lot of different areas. See what he says about a lot of different things, how we're supposed to act, what our heart posture is supposed to be. That's what I think he would have me encourage on this Palm Sunday, is to make the right choices, right? Make the choices. Are we always going to make the right ones? I guess no, but make choices with a Jesus attitude. Look at that. I talk a lot about lenses, right? How we see things is about the lens that we put on, right? So last year we put a lens of faith and a lens of journey as we look through the first 6 books of the Old Testament. And I saw things in there that I've never seen before. And when we put on the lens of like Jesus, let's call them Jesus eyes. When we put those on, we may see people different. There's a song, "Give Me Your Eyes," right? For just 1 second, so that I might see. And I can't get over that. And when we do that, we may see people different. We may see situations different. We may respond different in conflict. I encourage you also go back and listen to the first 6 episodes of the I've Got the Joy series as we started in this book of Philippians. And may you find some encouragement as we now, fixing our eyes on Jesus, how do we do all the things that Paul has described in the past several verses? How do we do that? What does it mean to have this joy? But that's the joy that Paul is describing in this when he says that we can still have joy, when we still can have that kind of joy. It's because we found this Jesus mindset, that Jesus, facing all the things that he's going to face in the next 7 days, we can face it with joy because Jesus did. Well, why is that? Because of what he knew he had to do, and because of the work that he was doing was for us. And we can do that by working for Jesus, and we can see that joy. So I encourage you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Maybe do some changes in your own life, in your daily routine. Find a way to get the Jesus eyes on and see what it can do just in one day. Just start thinking about the way things Jesus would handle things, how Jesus would respond, and it'll totally change it up, because that's what Paul's doing. And despite of all his problems and despite of all his conflict and all his struggles and all whatever, Paul kept his eyes on Jesus. That is so important. So let's do that this week as we continue on through Holy Week. I'll see you on Good Friday with a very special episode. I'm excited for it. It's going to feel a whole lot different, but I hope that it helps us remember and reflect and enter into that space of what was happening on Good Friday. So I'll see you for that episode, and I'll see you for Easter. I'm super excited for the episodes to come. And just remember, let's keep our eyes on Jesus this week.